You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, you're taking over the Texans organization. 1-7. Let's go before the start of the year. We'll start with a fresh slate. Like Nick Caserio had the fresh slate. We'll give you the fresh slate.
Thanks.
What is the what's the plan? What's the mastermind? What are you doing to get this organization back to its winning ways?
In order?
Yes, sure.
I'm firing Jack Easterby.
Mm-hmm. But he hired you.
No. But you said it's me.
Okay.
I'm getting the gig. All right. He's out. All right. Cully's finishing the year. That's it. Because I need him to embrace the suck. Okay.
You want to lose.
Yep. Then we're going to have daily meetings in which we talk about, one, what we're going to say to the media, but more importantly, what we're going to do at practice and on the field. And that includes who's going to start at quarterback and what we're going to do from who's playing, who's not, depth chart.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about
that. Snap counts, whatever.
We're working on all of that. And then from the communications department, seriously, who we're letting talk and what they're going to say. And then we're going to start being focused on exactly what we need to do from a franchise perspective to get the fans back. I'm going to be meeting with the business side. But to get the team back, it's all about getting as bad as possible for the rest of the year, getting as many L's as we can stack up so we can get as many of the draft picks as we need, while my personnel department is constantly looking at every possible team that could need a quarterback and charting it and keeping it on a whiteboard so I know exactly who I'm calling and how many conversations I need to make. And then same thing with receiver. And I'm taking any guys on my roster that I think have value, and I'm putting teams below those guys' names on that whiteboard of who I'm going to force the issue. I'm going to make the first call and let you know Tunsil's available, let you know Brandon Cooks is available, and then, of course, let you know Deshaun Watson is available for the right price.
Yeah, I think all those things are good. The snap count, I mean, who are you giving priority to? The young guys? And look, there's not a lot of very good young players on
Davis
this team.
Davis Mills is getting every snap the rest of the season.
He's not going to get snaps against Miami on Sunday against
the
Dolphins.
I know, and he should. And Davis Mills should be your quarterback for the rest of the season. Again, tough luck, Tyrod, and I know it's been the story of your career, but I don't, that's another one. That's a guy that they should have traded, because you could have said there was demand and we got something that we just couldn't pass up, and so we made a move. But at the end of the day, you're not fooling anybody, because internally you're saying, look, I need Davis Mills to take all the bumps and lumps and learn all the things this year while we get loss after loss while he does it, so that we kill two birds with one stone. We see if he can play or not. But boy, oh boy, we get what we need to do, which is that end result of being right there neck and neck with the Lions to get the top pick in the draft.
Well, here's what Nick Caserio says the Texans' plan is.
We're looking for good players that are good people, that care about winning, that put the team first, that put the team above themselves, and are committed to work through purposeful action. Like, if you're asking me, what are we trying to do? Like, that's what we're trying to do, okay? Now, does that happen all at once? No, not necessarily. There's always a lot of moving parts. But the goal is to put some of those parameters in place and to put something in place so we can sustain for a long period of time. So I'd say right now, you know, we're in a rough spot. We haven't played as well as we had hoped, and we're all accountable. So the most important thing is to focus on the next step and what we can do moving forward.
Is that not used car salesman-y?
Yes.
The real meat of that answer in terms of like what the plan is and what they're trying to achieve long term, is good players that are good people. Like, cool. Like, what's my plan driving home tonight? To get home. Like, that's the plan. And then he just kind of throws all of these other things where it makes him sound smart. And I agree. He does sound smart. And I think it's the reason that he's the general manager of this team, because Cal McNair likes to hear people sound good and sound smart. It's why Jack Easterby has fooled him. It's why Nick Caserio has fooled him as well. Like, what they're trying to achieve is to bring good players that are good people. That's Captain Obvious. Thank you, Nick Caserio. I'm glad that your interest is on good players that are good people. I don't even care about the good people part. Just bring in good players. But Caserio, like, he's trying to fool us all. Like, this is some, like, genius idea. Like, I read books on Dell. PayPal almost bought Pinterest. I like to read about business. I exercise a lot. I don't like Texas barbecue. I don't like Tex-Mex. But we're trying to get good players, darn it. Cool. So are you and 31 other NFL teams. How are you going to do it?
Now you're finally on board with what I've been saying all along, which from David Culley's interview that you had the other day and on the coach's show, what annoys me, we'll talk about pet peeves earlier in the show too. What annoys me more than anything else as it pertains to all three sports teams, but primarily the Rockets and the Texans, is that same mentality of what I say is exactly what you're going to believe and therefore what you're going to write and report on and what you're going to do. Rafael Stone, since the time he took the job, kept hammering you over the head with the fact that the moves that we make are because we are a championship caliber team and we are still trying to win a title and we are focused on winning every day, which is complete and utter BS, okay? Then he tried to convince you that the James Harden trade was the best deal that they could possibly have gotten, and you will have to wait until I tell you to 10 years from now to be able to judge it. Otherwise, you're not allowed to judge it. From the Texan standpoint, the same thing. From Cal's comments when he hired Culley and or what he had to talk about Easterby or was talking about Caserio and all the things whenever he talks to the media, we are a championship caliber football team and organization. No, you are not. And I am tired of them browbeating the media and the fans and saying whatever I say is exactly what you're going to believe.
And it's the fans to me. Like, if you want to do that to the media and the media is going to fall for it, that's the media that's falling for it and that's on their own accord. You know what I mean? Like, if you can fool the media, great.
Or you're the media guy that worries about ruffling the feathers of an organization and it might cost you the right press pass or seat. And so you try to stick up for them instead of doing your job, which as a media member is, call it like you see it.
And the problem to me is more the message to the fans and trying to kind of razzle-dazzle with words a message that the fans won't understand. And like, our city is a smart sports city. Our city is willing to accept a rebuild, mainly because what the Astros just did. The Astros went from being a perennial 100-game loser. Nobody was going to the games. Nobody literally was watching them on TV. They were rock bottom. They were the worst Major League Baseball organization in Major League Baseball. And Jeff Luhnow came in here, rebuilt that thing up, and all of a sudden you're winning a World Series in a pretty short time. But they didn't lie to you. The Astros didn't lie to you along the way. They weren't trying to bring in some veterans on short-term contracts and all this stuff. Nick Caserio's basically lying in everything that he says. Like, oh, fans are telling us that we're doing a good job. We're going to try to bring in good players. Jack Easterby, who is the symbol of why this organization is where it's at, is your right-hand man and somebody that you're best friends with. Like, just the lies that they're telling to the city is something that the fans can't accept. The fact that Easterby is the right-hand man is something that the fans can't accept. They can accept a rebuild. I promise you that. They're willing to accept a rebuild and trust the process and bring in young players. They don't care if you're going to lose for 1 year. They care how it got there, and they care that nothing has really changed about it.
But you also can't give the Astros immunity either, because their communications department has screwed up in multiple ways over the last couple of years, too, from the Osuna deal to the fact that the assistant general manager, Brandon Taubman.
But that was post-rebuild. That was post-process.
Okay. You're right. But it's part of, along the way, what my pet peeve with them is. And to this point.
And it's
point,
a fair pet peeve.
Yeah. To way they handle these kind of situations. Or they tell you, stop worrying about it. It's not a big deal. It's not a problem. Until you find out months later, it was actually a big deal and a big problem. And it was going to have to be that some people are going to lose their job and other people should have never said what they said. So I think it goes across the board with all three sports teams. Other than that, I hear what you're saying, and it is. It's a massive annoyance, and I don't think that, look, you've said this on multiple occasions. I don't have any reason to argue with you. I think Caserio is a smart guy, right? But don't outsmart yourself by trying to tell people exactly what you say is exactly what we are supposed to believe.
NFL.com listing their quarterback rankings this week. They list Davis Mills 33rd. Let me count real quick how many NFL teams there are. Yeah, I got 32. The NFL.com listed two Cowboys quarterbacks ahead of the Davis Mills because they don't know if Dak Prescott's going to play or not. But Davis Mills, the worst-ranked starting quarterback this week. We know now, though, that he will not be starting at that really great home-field advantage that is the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Nick Caserio talking about Davis Mills yesterday and assessed his play thus far.
There's been some good plays, and there's some plays that, you know, he would probably want to have back. So at times he's played okay. He's made some good decisions. He's made some good throws. Other times he's probably made some sort of ill-advised plays or throws. Specific to the rookie class, he's probably been, other than Mac, you know, probably as competitive as the rest of them. So again, he's got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of progress in front of him. He's made some progress in some areas. There's certainly some areas that he can improve. And he's certainly committed to doing that.
See, I can give Caserio the benefit of the doubt with most of that soundbite. Like, that is actually the honesty that I want to hear. That's other the transparency I want to hear. But that little jab of saying, look, I drafted a third-round quarterback, and other than a guy who the Patriots traded up for, the Patriots drafted in the first round, other than that guy that my mentor, Bill Belichick, had the foresight to draft in the first round, other than him, I've made the best quarterback pick in this year's NFL draft. You kidding me? Like, lose that sentence, and I'm fine with it. It's fair. Davis Mills has showed some promise. Davis Mills has been okay at times, but he's also made bad throws. He's also been bad at times. Completely fair. But that little patting myself on the back.
Comparing him to Justin Fields, there's no comparison.
In terms of talent, absolutely not.
No, but or even performance this year, because Justin Fields has been held back more by his head coach than about his inability to do things, and because they haven't put him in a position to be successful. They've forced him to be a pocket passer, staying in there with a bad offensive line and done a lot of bad things to actually be a detriment to him, and yet he still has found ways to succeed. I think that you go up and down the list and say, other than Mac, and you look at other quarterbacks and say, I'm not willing to go that far, Nick. I just think that's a big stretch.
See, I'm not a big Fields guy, but still, I would take Fields over Davis Mills. And look, again, that whole soundbite was fair. Davis Mills has had moments where he's looked pretty good. He's had moments where he's looked really bad. He needs to improve.
Sure.
But then the other than Mac Jones, he's competitive with all of them. Give me a break. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. The Astros offseason is here, and it's the most important 3 months in James Click's baseball life. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about Apollo Men's Health. Dr. O and his staff, they do a fantastic job. If you're a man or a woman and you feel like you don't have the energy you once had and you feel like there's no way to get it back, there actually is. There's hormone therapy available for both men and women, multiple ways that you can get involved in the process, from visiting the office weekly to doing it yourself at home to, for men, cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy. You only have to go in every 6 months, but you get all the energy and the benefits just like if you were going in weekly. Other than that, you can get on a workout program and you want to start the right way. Full body composition analysis so you can chart your progress. It only takes 60 seconds, but boy, all the data is there and you can chart it and look at it as you make progress on a weekly basis. Want to recover quicker? HGH peptide therapy. Looking for fat burners, vitamins, powders for your smoothie, and other things that are going to help you? They got it all under one roof. Two locations to better serve you, both near downtown Houston. It starts with making your first appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com. When you do and set up that appointment, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. More so than anything else, go into that first meeting and be honest. They're going to ask you tough questions. If you give them honest answers, they're going to get your results. They're going to put you on a program that works. They know what they're doing, and they do it better than anybody else. I believe in them, and I see them weekly. You should, too. Check out the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Why do you always look at me whenever I'm singing? Like, you can sing. You look at me with like this look that you can belt out the tunes.
It's not that you're singing, Jeremy. It's the way that you're singing.
You think I ever do that just to kind of, you know.
Did you just do the whole, you know what my pet peeve is? people that do the point, click, and shoot noise while they're winking at you.
Poncho wants me to play a little more Cumbia by Selena.
I would just like you to sing for the people your version of...
I'm not a singer. I'm more of a dancer.
Tupac and...
More of a dancer.
Chuck D.
So James Click, most important 3 months ever in his baseball life coming up. Justin Verlander, gone. Zach Greinke, gone. Carlos Correa, more than likely gone. Dusty Baker, new manager, probably going to stay. Kendall Graveman, we'll see. Yimi Garcia, we'll see. Brooks Raley, it wouldn't be the Astros without Daily Raley warming up in the bullpen for all 162.
Resurrected his career, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was pitching in Japan, wasn't he? Marwin Gonzalez, a free agent, too, but not going to be back with this Houston Astros team. You have a team that was on the brink of winning a World Series, 2 games away. You lose it in 6 to the Atlanta Braves. Lots of big decisions, lots of money coming off the books for James Click. Next 3 months, and look, you also have the CBA to worry about. Navigating that will be a challenge, not only for Click, but for every Major League Baseball organization. But this team needs some work. I mean, It's a good team. It's a good core that's currently here. I believe you're a playoff team with what you currently have. But if you want to take that next step, you want to be a World Series contender, you're going to have to make some moves to improve this roster.
No question about it. And we talked about it. And I think that what you have to do right now, remember how, you know, everybody always talks about where you really have your best chances to win a Super Bowl when your quarterback isn't under a massive deal, when you got them on their rookie deal in their first 3-4 years. Well, it's the same way of thinking about team control with Major League Baseball. When your starting rotation is all under team control for the foreseeable future, and you need to capitalize on that, right? Your ace right now is a guy that is paid extremely team-friendly in Lance McCullers. You just have to worry about his health. So from that standpoint, it's such a massive advantage, and that the majority of your core players are under contract for the next year or more as it relates to Bregman and Altuve, but at least with a Brantley for a year more. Team control for Tucker and Yordan, who are also going to get paid mightily in the future. So you need to pounce. You need to capitalize. The only real issues you have is whether you want to address an actual real frontline ace. And as you and I talked about yesterday, you don't probably have to do that till after in season. So you don't have to worry about just the ones that are free agents. If there's some team that's willing to unload one, that's when you worry about that. But your bullpen has to be addressed. Whether you bring Graveman and Raley and some of those guys back, and or you need to make improvements, that's one area where you have to focus. You also have to focus on the bats and just say, do I need one more outfielder, one more guy off the bench, or one more guy somewhere where I can improve and upgrade that I'm willing to go out and get to make this team better? If you don't believe that that Jake Meyers is your guy for next season, then you go out and get a center fielder, and you put that problem to bed. You know, if you believe that Castro is an issue or he's just washed up now, and or if you believe Maldonado is more of a backup catcher or and a situational catcher for certain pitchers, or you still are steadfast on him as being a starter, you need to make that decision now. And then act accordingly. Either go get another catcher or a backup catcher if you're going to keep Maldi there. But these are things that have to be addressed right now. You couldn't be more accurate in the fact that what I always said about James Click, we're waiting for that first big move so we can judge you. You let Springer get away. People kind of saw that coming, so they weren't too mad. What you did at the trade deadline made everybody stand up and take notice. You know what you're doing, unlike Nick Caserio right now. You got that kind of that first reinforcement that this guy is the guy. But now with Correa's situation and the money to play with, you are firmly on the clock and everyone in the crosshairs watching you.
You have a really good foundation for this team. Maldonado and Castro both under contract for next season, but if you feel like you need to upgrade a little bit, you know, you have the prospect that's coming up in Corey Lee. Maybe that's something you do in the summer where you can wait a little while, give them some more seasoning in the minors. You're going to bring back Yuli Gurriel. He's got a club option for next season. It's a cheap one. It's about $8 million. Altuve is going to be back at second. Bregman's going to be back at third. It's critical offseason for him to get healthy, but you have to pencil him in to be your everyday third baseman. Shortstop right now is a major hole. That's something that you have to figure out in the offseason. If Correa does walk, do you go free agency? Do you go young? To me, you go free agency and kind of until the youth is ready.
That's the one that I didn't mention, which is, one way or another, you have to address either shortstop or third base. You're right, and Bregman's got to be healthy. But if he's healthy, I believe they will consider him at both positions. If Correa walks, I understand your trepidation in saying, you know what, he's not a shortstop.
We're on different sides of that.
Yeah, I think he could be, but I totally get where you're coming from. But one way or another, whether you go out and get a third baseman because there's so much of a big market for shortstops, or you dabble in a Marcus Semien or a guy that gets left behind at the end of the shortstop when the dust settles. I agree with you.
Other than shortstop, you're pretty much set. Maybe you bring in another bench guy, something like that. But you have Brantley in left. You have Jake Meyers, who I think will be the everyday center fielder, and then Tucker in right, Jordan at DH. The rotation, in my mind, is set with Lance McCullers, Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy, Framber Valdez, and I'm missing the fifth one. Who am I missing? McCullers?
Javier.
Javier, because I want Javier back in the rotation.
I do, too.
You have Presley as your closer. He's back. Now, you have to figure out some setup, guys. I mean, you have to figure out some relief, too. Stanek's under contract. Okay, Maton's under contract, too. Pedro Baez is also under contract, which isn't great.
Boy.
I'm having second thoughts on Ryan Stanek. I'm not so sure Ryan Stanek actually is under club control.
I'm having second thoughts unless he develops a secondary pitch of some regard that can be more effective, right? Because as good as he's good...
Oh, yeah, Stanek's still an arbitration year. So you got a couple years of club control.
When he's on, when you got a plus-plus fastball, that's a huge advantage. When he's off, his ability to locate his secondary pitches bothers me.
I like him as your fourth-best reliever.
Are you letting Yimi walk?
I'll have a conversation with him. I want a strong bullpen. To me, that's where you can really boost this team is in the bullpen. 713-780-ESPN.
I think we've seen, Jeremy, the fact that this is where baseball's going. With just as a microcosm, exactly where the playoffs, how it dictated how little starters were used, how important the bullpen was, how many guys were leaned upon, and how many guys got time on the mound. I think this is another analytical approach to where baseball's going, and it's vitally important that you don't do another year of the Astros trying to solve it at the deadline. You've got to have a solidified bullpen.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. That's where I feel like most of this money should go in the offseason. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Brian, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to weigh in on more so the managerial search. I agree with you guys on the players. I like Dusty, and I'm not one of these people who says, well, Dusty cost us this. I mean, managers are going to make bad decisions. They're going to cost you games at times by maybe putting guys in that shouldn't. Overall, I think Dusty was the right guy for the right situation coming off the cheating scandal, and I think he was great. And it's hard to say get rid of a guy who took you to the World Series, but what I'm worried about is he's already, 72, almost going to be 73?
Mm-hmm.
How many years of coaching do we think he has left in him? In 3 years, you're going to be right back in this situation. I personally think you have his replacement sitting on the bench in Joe Espada. He's younger. He relates to these guys. They all know him. They all trust him. He's really big with the analytics. He does, he's involved in the day-to-day. I think that's the route they should go. I don't think they will. I think that's the route they should go in hiring Espada as the head coach, because if you don't hire him, somebody is. And that's what I'm worried about, is you're going to lose somebody like that. And he could be your future, whereas Dusty is only going to be a short-term stopgap.
Brian, I don't know if you caught the show this week, but we already addressed that. And the one thing that we said is, because everything that you said, I think, is exactly what we had echoed to the people earlier in the week, but the main thing was because we both value Joe Espada and think he should be the next manager of the Houston Astros, but also, unlike, I don't want to speak for Jeremy on the Dusty side of this, but I think that in baseball circles, he's earned the right to come back if he wants to, based on what he's been able to do, that I believe, and I suggested, you have a conversation as an organization with Joe Espada, and you say, look, I know you're going to be highly sought after, but no one will think as highly of you as we do. Dusty's only got a year or two left. We want you to be the coach in waiting. We're willing to pay you like you will be the coach in waiting so that you stay with us instead of going elsewhere, and you hope that's enough to keep him appeased and keep him on the bench and keep him as your bench coach, because football teams do it all the time with their coordinators and making them associate head coaches and do these kind of things. It would not be far-fetched to think a baseball team could do the same thing.
Not a huge Dusty guy in-game. He's great in the clubhouse overall. He's solid. He's got you to the World. He got you to the World Series. If he wants to come back, he deserves that. Where I draw the line is if it means that Espada leaves. If Espada leaves because you brought back Dusty, you got the wrong guy back. If you had to choose between the two, I agree with you. It needs to be Joe Espada because he's going to be a hotshot manager coming up. And you're right, Dusty doesn't have that many years left in him. Now, if you can find a way to keep Joe Espada as that top bench coach right there next to Dusty, he pretty much is the manager in waiting. I agree that the having both of them could be a plus for this team. But if you lose Espada because of it, not a huge fan of that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Paul, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
I agree on all that, although I'm kind of questioning how great of a bench coach Joe Espada is if he didn't tell Dusty how to do a double switch in, game five, where Graveman had to bat when he also put Sirian in the same inning for Alvarez. But, yeah, as far as the roster construction for next year, I could actually see going into the season with Diaz at third and Bregman at short, presuming Bregman's healthy or vice versa. And, with the young guy from, I forget his name, from AAA, from the Skeeters.
Jeremy Peña, Pedro Leon.
Season, then, this team is still going to be easily the best team in that division. They can win this division. Oakland's not getting any better. Oakland's getting worse. Seattle is bad. The Rangers, Seattle's getting a little better, but they're not going to win it next year. The Rangers aren't going to win. I mean, the Astros are the odds-on favorite. And then you can pick somebody up at the trade deadline because I don't think they need to get rooked into a bad three-year for $75 million for Marcus Semien or something like that deal because the top shortstops are going to get big money. The Astros could have had one of those. So why would you do that? So I don't think they're going to spend big money on a shortstop. I do agree with getting a couple more hammers in the bullpen. And you've also got to look at Odorizzi is not a bad starter. He really isn't. You've got to look at keeping him in the rotation for next year and moving one of those other guys to the bullpen, or if all six are healthy all year, which probably is unlikely, you could even have a six-man rotation to save some wear and tear on the arms. The Astros were actually doing pretty darn well successfully with that six-man rotation.
Appreciate the call, Paul. Yeah, I mean, you can't really bang on Espada for the double switch whenever Dusty Baker's the one pulling the strings. I think the buck ultimately stops with the manager. That one's on Dusty Baker. As far as Bregman playing short and Diaz playing third, Diaz is an everyday player. He hits well enough over the course of his big league career to get everyday at-bats. He's good enough to be an everyday dude. I don't love the idea of Bregman playing short because I don't think he has very good range. If he gets healthy, could he change my mind on that? Maybe. But I've never felt like he was a big league shortstop, even coming out of LSU. In fact, I thought he was a second baseman coming out of LSU, and he has proven me wrong. He's a good third baseman. I don't know if I want him playing shortstop for me in the future. As far as Odorizzi, what he showed you this year was mediocre at best, 4.21 ERA. Over the course of his career, he has had good years. I mean, he's got a sub-4 ERA over the course of his big league career. The six-man rotation, to me, is something you might go to save innings whenever you get to the second half of the season and you feel like you have the division within reach. I don't hate the idea of Odorizzi being your long guy in the bullpen. I'd rather Christian Javier, though, get 30 starts a season as opposed to Jake Odorizzi. I think where they're at this stage of their career, I have more confidence in Javier. I think Javier can be a top half of the rotation pitcher, whereas Odorizzi, somewhat decent. Maybe the second year coming off an injury will improve on that. I still don't think he has the capability and the potential to be a top half of the rotation starter that Christian Javier, in my opinion, can be. Could Odorizzi be in a pitching rotation, Major League Baseball? Absolutely, yes. Just not for this team, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's where I start. The minute he said that, I was like, did you miss a majority of the games this year, Paul? Because I believe you know baseball, and I believe that you had some really good suggestions, but Odorizzi used to be, I will hear you and I will be here for you to say, Odorizzi used to be a really good starter and a serviceable starter in Major League Baseball. This last year, he was far too inconsistent. He couldn't get through more than five innings. He couldn't get through a lineup after two times through, and even then he was getting touched up sometimes way before we even got to the second time through. And it would be one thing to say because he's got 1 year left on his contract and because you're searching for starting pitching options by letting the guys you're letting go, that you would insert him for one more year. But because you have five legitimate starting pitchers that are young, vibrant arms that you're going to continue to develop and put in the process of being long-term parts of your rotation, there is no need to jam Odorizzi back in there and find a home for him. I will hear your argument for six. if you want to try and save some arms, especially because of the fact that this is the first year that Luis Garcia has had this many innings on his arm. But other than that, I think that he's trade bait, and he's going to be out there, and they're going to try and do their very best to find him a home. He doesn't want to be in the bullpen, as Jeremy, for the solution Jeremy suggested, to be your long reliever, because he could do that, and he proved that in the World Series. But he doesn't want to do that, and it takes him a very long time to get ready when he tries to do that. And that's not a good characteristic if you're coming out of the pen and you're going to be called on sometimes in short notice. From the standpoint of Bregman, I think Jeremy brings up a good point in previous conversations we've had. My main concern would be the fact that what he does when he does it from a running perspective never looks fluid. And when you have range, in order to be rangy, you have to have fluidity. He doesn't have that. He has quick twitch, which he does without having to move his feet a whole lot at third base. He's ultimately a third baseman. Could he solve that role for you on a short-term basis at shortstop? Yes. Would you lose something? Absolutely. But you have options, either third or short, in order to do what you do. From an Espada standpoint, you're not the guy that's the guy carrying all the keys and walking down the hallway. You're not the end-up decision maker. You can suggest to your blue in the face whether he did or not. We don't know. But Dusty's going to Dusty, as we said. And Dusty ain't letting anybody else tell him when he's going to do what he's going to do. So I don't want to put that on Joe Espada. Joe Espada is a guy that's highly regarded across baseball, highly regarded in the organization, is analytical as well as baseball-minded, and I think that he is the ultimately going to be the long-term manager of this team.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's talk about another diva wide receiver in the NFL. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about MyBookie. If you're looking for a place to put money down, there's a football game tonight. You know, the Jets and the Colts are going to go at it, and if you want to put some money on it to make it more interesting because the matchup just doesn't sound really good to you, well, all you got to do is go to MyBookie.ag. And the reason why we all tell you to go to mybookie.ag is because it's the safest, best place to put your money down because of the fact that when you win, they're going to pay you. And more importantly than anything else, right now they got a promotion going on where they're going to double your next deposit up to $1,000. That means you put $100 in, you got $200 in your account. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances to win. That's the way they do business at MyBookie. They take care of their customers, new customers, existing customers, previous customers. All you do is put your next deposit in and put in the promo code BET975, and the games are on. Literally, you can watch them on TV, but it's on because you can bet on them and win money as part of the process, and that makes everything more fun. They have in-game betting, so you can always hedge a bet or make another bet if one's not going so well. They have prop bets that are all the time available that you can get in on. A lot of times they have promos going on that doesn't cost you anything to get involved, but if you win, they're going to pay you because they take care of their customers at MyBookie. Check them out again. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Double that next deposit up to $1,000 and realize from your phone to your tablet to your desktop, you can bet anywhere, anytime, any place with MyBookie.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, so Michael Thomas is done for the year. We found out yesterday, another ankle injury or complications from the surgery that he had a little deeper in the offseason than I think Saints fans would have liked. Sean Payton, though, actually had the back of Michael Thomas. I was a little surprised when I heard this. Listen to Sean Payton defend Michael Thomas after this news.
Timing of Michael Thomas's procedure have changed anything as far as him being able to come back this year with this setback?
I don't understand the question.
Okay, if he had had surgery earlier, would this have changed the outcome as far as him being able to come back during the season?
Yeah, I mean, you're going back to if that happened earlier and then this now happened. I mean, look, he's had a surgery, and right now he's having complications with the current surgery that was done. So, it is what it is. I know he's working his tail off to get back out there, and I mean, you're going back to the original. So, if you're doing a timeline, you know, knock yourself out.
That to me sounds like a head coach is just over Michael Thomas to me. Like
he's trying to salvage some value. Whether he plays for you ever again, you got to salvage the relationship, or you got to find value elsewhere if you're going to try and find a home for him.
Perhaps. Like I just hear that, and I hear a coach that's so like he's already over Michael Thomas. In my opinion, he's already made the decision that Michael Thomas isn't playing for him again this season. And then the news comes out, and now he has to answer more questions about Michael Thomas. I think annoys him. Del, whenever you hear Sean Payton talk there, what are some things that resonate with you? What sticks out?
Anytime someone says "listen" in the middle of a response, it means they're stuck and they don't have really any place to go. And then when they go, "it is what it is," that's the capper. Listen, it is what it is. Okay, you're done here. You don't really have a legitimate response to what she's saying. And it sounded that way to me.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of the feeling that I have about that. So, I mean, that's Sean Payton that I think is just kind of fed up with Michael Thomas and hearing these questions about Michael Thomas. Will not play for the Saints again this season. We'll see if he ever plays for the Saints again.
Don't you think that the other thing when he says the things that he said that Dell was alluding to too, don't you think that at this point it's like, what's it going to do if I go back and tell you how pissed off I was about any of that stuff?
Right.
I ain't changing it at this point, so I'm not getting into it.
Yeah, that's to me where Sean Payton is on that one as well. NFL Films always has some pretty cool stuff in terms of like NFL sound that you hear on game days. Pete Carroll has always been kind of a fun watch, you know, on the sidelines. Does it a little different than other coaches, like a little more laid back, a little more cool than a lot of the other coaches that are kind of in your face, the real intense. Listen to this one. Pete Carroll having a moment with an official and then having a moment with his wide receiver, DK Metcalf.
Yes. Okay, we've got unsportsmanlike on number 14 of your team. He jumped on the goalpost, and he
jumped over the goalpost?
Hang on.
He jumped over the goalpost? Hang on. He could have. He's capable of that.
He jumped on the goalpost upright there. I guess you can't use something to celebrate.
Did you jump on the goalpost?
Yeah.
The last time?
No, I was playing. Yeah. I thought you just did. I'll take responsibility for that. I should have taught you that.
Man, I would love to play for Pete Carroll. Like, to be in the middle of a game, you have a penalty called against you, like an unsportsmanlike conduct, 15-yard penalty, and you're making a joke. He could have done that. He's capable of doing that. I thought that was awesome to hear that sound between he and the referee.
I kind of feel the way you feel about Jordan Poole and about
with Carroll?
Tyler Hero with Carroll.
That makes sense.
The gum chewing and all the antics on the sideline and the fact that the Seahawks and the Packers have had some very, very tough to swallow football games that I've had to endure. It's fine for you to feel that way, and I feel some kind of other way.
I get it.
Just accept that you're hating on the future Sixth Man of the Year and Most Improved Player. When those two awards comes his way, I hope you have gotten over this
irrational
hate.
I don't hate Tyler Hero. He does.
No, you do.
No, I don't.
I hate Tyler Hero.
You both have issues with him.
I don't. I thought he sucked last year.
And that's an overstatement.
Spending too much time with Instagram models.
You mean the mother of his child? The mother of his child, Joel?
I think he got a little...
Is that what you're saying?
I think he got a little tight when there was fans in the stands in hostile environments instead of
the... How's it going this year, Joel?
The bubble-controlled environment that allowed him to succeed. You're defending him because you're a massive Heat fan.
How is it going this year with all the fans in the stands?
He's better now because you know why? He learned after a year taking his lumps.
The hate. By the way, if you don't know why Joel doesn't like Tyler Hero, he decommitted from Wisconsin.
Yeah. And I don't like him because he hit a big shot against us in the Sweet 16.
Just think, if he stayed with Wisconsin, neither one of you would hate him because that shot wouldn't have occurred and he would have played for Wisconsin.
Well, he made a foolish decision leaving Wisconsin. Great point. 713-780-ESPN.
I'm going to refrain.
713-780-3776. Thursday night football coming up tonight. Jets, Colts, what to look forward to. That's next. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. But first, a minute on Pro Dunk Hoops. Be like Tyler Hero and make a lot of shots. And do it with the best basketball goal on the planet. Pro Dunk Hoops, the best in the business. It's got the tempered glass backboard. Gives you that true, authentic feel. Adjustable goals. You can lower it as low as you want, as high as you want. And it gives you that competition-grade breakaway rim that's perfect for dunking, throwing down those thunder jams. You can hang, keep you safe, because that competition-grade breakaway rim isn't going anywhere. Extended overhang gives a clear path under the rim, keeping you and your loved ones safe. Pro Dunk Hoops, sturdy and they're strong, which allows for better playability. durability, a strength, the ProDunk hoops with their stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, and their exclusive rust armor. It's basketball season. Rockets 4-3 against the spread. College basketball starts pretty soon. Your kids are going to start be playing in high school, middle school ball. They'll want to be working on their game. So get a ProDunk hoops. And the best feature, you don't even have to install it. They'll do all the work for you. The pros at ProDunk hoops professionally install the goal, perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at ProDunk hoops do the work for you. Come in a variety of sizes and options. It'll be the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Call 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Thursday night football tonight, which we love football. Jets and the Colts. And since it's the Jets and the Colts, Jake Asmund making an appearance right here on the end of the Killer Bees ahead of the Wheelhouse. How you feeling about this game? You got the Namath jersey, so are you guaranteeing victory for the Jets tonight?
It is fitting, Jeremy. Think about it. Joe Namath guaranteed victory over the Baltimore Colts, Super Bowl III MVP. And here we are in 2021 with the Jets once again a double-digit underdog facing a Colts team. So I won't guarantee a victory, but I do think the Jets will cover. I will guarantee a cover 10.5 to a Colts team that I think is vastly overrated. Seems way too much. They just played an overtime game against the Titans, a game they had the win to try and come back and get back in the division race. They blew a 14-0 lead. I think they could be a little demoralized, and I think the Jets, if they don't turn the ball over, which is a big if with the Jets, especially on primetime, I think they're capable defensively to hang in the game for a while.
Dell, should I ride with this? I always look to Dell for advice. He's kind of my advisor when it comes to making lousy decisions.
Which is where you miss greatly.
Go seems ahead, like an unnecessary insult for Joel on my way out. I would say don't ever back the Jets.
All right.
I bet I was, against them last week.
Well, I mean,
I
they lost their franchise quarterback. They found him last week. They
Definitely,
know that he's their guy. Mike They're White? Ready to go.
Mike White Magic.
That's not just Mike White. That's Mike effing White.
Hell yeah.
When you start looking at the internet.
Magic Mike. Lightning will strike with Magic Mike White.
What do you think
Have you seen that movie?
Magic Mike?
Yeah.
I've seen part of it.
Referring to things that I'm not aware of.
Well,
but
Channing
making,
Tatum's a star. Yes. He's in that movie.
And I know you completely are enthralled with him, but I mean, I've never seen the movie. But
I've never seen it. Aren't there two of them?
I think there was a Magic Mike.
I don't know.
I've never seen the movie, but I'm aware that it was
Del
created.
Said he's seen them both.
And that there was.
I didn't say that. It was just confirming there have been two of them.
Oh. Yeah.
It was actually filmed at Treasures right up the street here. I don't know if you guys know that.
So did you see the news that the Jets hired Zach Wilson? Like personal quarterback coach to the staff?
Yeah.
I'm sure you saw that.
John Beck, he was the quarterback at BYU, which is where Zach met him in the first place, and he's trained like a bunch of dudes that are in the league. I like it because that to me is about like making your rookie quarterback as comfortable as possible. So if he has a guy he's using in the offseason anyway, why not pay him to be on the staff and help coach up the guy that you invested the second overall pick in?
I don't hate it. I saw some people criticizing it, like, oh, you're doing everything for Zach Wilson, but, I mean, he was your number two overall pick.
That's what franchises are supposed to do.
Right?
They failed Sam Darnold. That was the biggest complaint from every Jet fan. For 3 years, they gave him nothing. Now, Sam might just be bad on his own, I understand that, but they gave him nothing to work with for 3 years. They're trying to do the opposite with Zach Wilson, which is the right move
for
the
Jets. And if you give them nothing else, you give them consistency with one or as minimal amounts of change in coaching staff and offensive coordinators and systems so that you give them the best chance to succeed. The Jets obviously didn't do that. But when you go back and look across franchises, and we just got done dealing with this with Deshaun Watson, but the best franchises are the ones that do try to appease their star player because, one, the player wants to stay, and, two, you get players around them in a lot of cases that make it an environment that other players are going to want to play in.
Look at what the Cardinals did for Kyler Murray, the weapons they gave him. They traded for DeAndre Hopkins, as everyone knows. Even Buffalo, they're like the model franchise that to surround your young quarterback to develop him. Like Josh Allen was okay through 2 years. He took a big leap. Why? Well, they have the same OC, same coaching staff, and they got him Stephon
Diggs.
Now, if I
want to play devil's advocate, Jake, what I'd say is, but look what the Rockets did with Steve Francis when they brought in all his boys
franchise.
To make sure that they won.
Yeah, well.
How'd that work out?
Not great.
Not as good.
But he certainly has a great bank account.
Still.
sure he does.
Toyota Center, the house that the Stevie franchise
just
built.
Ask him.
Just ask him. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse?
We are locked and loaded today, guys. It's obviously a very weird sports time right now with the Texans and the Rockets being what they are, but some more Astros postmortem. Talk more about the offseason. We got some good guests joining us today. 3:30, Burger McFarland. We'll do some NFL and college with him.
Burger McFarland Booger. Or Booger?
Booger.
Oh, Booger.
I misspoke. I apologize. 4:30, Todd Callis. Voice of the Astros on the AT&T Sportsnet.
Dear friend of Charles Polillo,
yes,
too.
Former college roommate of Charlie, as we established. Mm-hmm. And then 5 o'clock, Lee Sterling, a.k.a. BK's uncle, to give us some picks for college and the NFL.
He does take some good pot shots at BK.
Uncle Lee.
Does he? Uh-huh. Does BK? Does BK's cousin follow what Lee Sterling's selling?
He's all over it. I mean, BK and Lee, they have quite the kinship. It's phenomenal.
That's good to hear. Who plays shortstop for the Astros next year?
Ooh. Good question. I could see them kind of venturing in like the bridge gap, like a Simmons type of player. I also could see them maybe spending some money on Simeon because he's a little older. He's not going to quite cost you a 10-year deal like Correa would. Here's the thing, though. If they're not going to spend the big money on Correa, they're not going to spend money on Seager. They're not going to spend money on Story. It wouldn't make sense, right? Like at that point, just pay the extra and get the best guy who's been your guy in Correa.
If they spend big money on shortstop, it's going to be Carlos Correa. I mean, I don't think they're going to re-sign Carlos Correa. I do think they're going to be active in the offseason and spend money. I think it's going to be to shore up the bullpen. And the stopgap is something that I've kicked around to. You know, Marcus Simeon is something that I can see happening.
I've been high on Simeon, and the caller earlier said, "What you know, you don't want to give Marcus Simeon 3 years and $75 million. If for 25 a year you got Marcus Simeon for 3 years, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, well, he's a stud. I mean, he's been good for a couple of years now. So,
and he wants to play shortstop. He didn't play it in Toronto. You give him an opportunity. You keep Bregman where he belongs, and I don't think you miss all that much.
I have an outside-the-box idea.
The concern with Simeon, real quick, before your outside-the-box idea, is that he's in his 30s. One of the criticism we have of Correa is the fact that his body's going to break down in the big long-term contract, and he hasn't played shortstop in a year, which is worrisome, but I still like the idea of bringing him in. I'd bring him in, too. Like, he's my second option if I don't bring back Correa. What's your outside-the-box idea?
You could move Bregman to short, and I heard what you guys were saying. I agree. I don't think he's a great shortstop, but maybe if he's healthy, his range gets a little better. You can sign Chris Bryant and play third base.
Yeah.
Something like
I've
that.
Said both of those things in the past, and I think the biggest thing that I believe Bregman still play shortstop if these aren't long-term health issues.
I think that's the baseline there. Like, that's your rock bottom. Your floor is that Bregman's your shortstop and Diaz is your third baseman, which isn't a terrible alternative. It feels like a letdown because Correa's gone. You're not bringing anything else to shore that side of the infield up. But that's not a bad baseline. Mm. Both of those guys, when healthy, are good big league hitters. I mean, Diaz, over the course of his career, is a good offensive player. Bregman, over the course of his career, a good offensive player. So it's not a bad baseline. You just want to improve it. We'll be listening to the Wheelhouse. Thanks for hopping on. And I hope that this plus 10, I saw it at plus 10 at my buddy.
Oh, it's going down then.
Yeah, so
I saw 10.5 earlier.
You're on the right side of the 10.5.
That makes me nervous. I don't want to have too many people but in the Jets.
Yeah, all the money, all the sharps are on the
you know,
the
at
New
least
York
one person
Jets.
Is watching the game tonight.
I'll be watching the game. You kidding me?
It's football, man. We can't football shame on this show.
I'm just saying.
You'll be watching the game, too.
You know what I'll be doing, pal.
I do know you'll
come over to the apartment tonight, Joel. We'll watch the game together.
I'll bring the kids.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Can y'all Twitch that? I want to watch this. This would be great. This would be better than – y'all do like a little Manning cast right there. The kids, Jake, all on the couch watching the – what's the scene there at the apartment?
Hey, honestly, watching a Jet game with me is a miserable experience.
So like Joel with a Packer game.
Yeah, just it's I scream. Pretty much the same. I yell. I throw stuff. I curse a lot. Everything I can't do on the radio that basically comes out when I watch the Jets. So it's not a healthy environment, but if you could stomach that, I mean, I'll get us Chipotle. We'll have a great time.
Jeremy's not wrong. That sounds like me watching a Packer game. It really does.
But isn't watching any Jet game a miserable experience?
Usually, Del.
No matter who's there.
Yeah, except this past week, the Mike White experience. I mean, let's see what will
Mike
happen
freaking
tonight.
White, Del, like Charlie freaking Morton.
I've heard.
He threw for 405.
I'm aware.
All right. We appreciate it, Jake. We'll be listening to the Wheelhouse. Do you have predictions for Thursday Night Football tonight, Joel? You guaranteeing a Jet cover?
I think Colts win the game.
It's the desperation time for the Colts, right? Jake mentioned it earlier. Like it was a must-win game that they had against the
Titans.
He's
made a couple of bad decisions, but he actually has proven to at least be able to throw.
Look, he's been a fantasy, except for this Titans game. He's been pretty good fantasy-wise. I know that because he's one of my fantasy quarterbacks. But like last week was a must-win for the Colts, playing the Titans. We all felt that way. They kind of got a reprieve here, though, right? The fact that Derrick Henry's out now, like you feel like you get a little bit of a second life. Like, okay, like this seemed impossible after the loss last week.
The door's not wide open. It's not slammed shut, but there's a crack, and it's open. There's light.
The door was shut, And then it reopened slightly after the Derrick Henry news. So the Colts probably had that second life feeling to them a little bit, too. I am interested about this game tonight. All right, it's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks to Dell for doing all the hard work. He's Joel. I'm Jeremy. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. When the crowd goes wild. Wheel. Fun. Sports.